You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
What impact can one person, one veterinarian, one initiative make to help our pets when there are disasters as devastating as Hurricane Katrina, as horrible as the floodings in the Midwest, horrific as wildfires in California, or blizzards in Colorado? Countless animal lives have been saved and pets have been reunited with misplaced owners because of a unique partnership called Paws to Save Pets. But what can you do to help? More importantly, what can you do to help ensure that your pet is not a victim of a preventable disaster? How can you prepare for catastrophes that just can't be predicted but are all too common? My guest today is Dr. Hal Little of Mariel Animal Health. He'll tell us how to plan ahead to safeguard the pets in our lives. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step-by-step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
Aquariums and pond keeping are among the most popular of all hobbies in the United States and throughout the world. In fact, fish are probably the most numerous pet in people's homes and in their businesses. In Aquarium Mania, we'll learn more about the secret and not-so-secret life of fish and other inhabitants, the basics of good aquarium keeping, the complexities of the aquarium industry, and the science and art that surround this fascinating hobby. I'm your host, Roy Anong, and I'd like to thank you for joining us. Aquarium Mania.
Every week, on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Hal, thank you for being with us. This is a subject that is all too needed and oftentimes overlooked.
Bernadine, that's a huge issue that Mariel recognized back in 2005 with Katrina and then Hurricane Rita, that we considered what people needed to do to prepare for disasters, but oftentimes, if not all the time, we completely forgot about pets. And we can certainly be much more prepared as pet owners for any disaster, be it fire, flood, hurricane, tornadoes, and it really truly is about preparing.
Exactly. What is this Pause to Save Pets program? What's it all about?
Well, Bernadine, it was an initiative, as I said, started in 2005 between Mariel and two of our partners, PetFinder.com Foundation, and then the American Veterinary Medical Foundation. And we what started as a rescue and recovery and really reuniting pets during that crisis time has really morphed and turned into now disaster preparedness. So we're working with those two organizations to not only rescue and recover pets, but now we're training individuals to prepare for any disaster that could happen and really to take care of those animals that would be and could be affected during those disasters.
I was looking at the website for Paws to Save Pets, and I love it because I am a big advocate of preventative medicine for my clients and their pets. And it really seems that you're stressing this planning, protecting, and caring. And planning ahead, yes, is just so absolutely necessary. But it seems as though this is not going to be an inexpensive proposition to put this together. How is this all being funded? Where is this money coming from?
It really is coming from veterinary practitioners and consumers, clients that are interested in helping with the effort. Since 2005, Marielle has raised over $3 million in cash and products for emergency medications, disaster preparedness treatments at animal shelters for pets that are displaced for the disasters. And we anticipate in the next several years that money that we've raised could reach $5 million. So it's a very expensive proposition, but the money has come through various efforts, big veterinary conferences and activities. We have conferences where we receive donations. Marielle donates. So it's truly a group effort that spans the veterinary marketplace.
Well, I love this because it's really ways of trying to keep that human-animal bond together. I think we all saw on the tapes that we saw from Katrina where people were just refusing to leave their homes because, you know, their pets were being left behind or they would have to leave, and you'd see these dogs and cats on top of buildings, and it was just heart-wrenching. You go, oh my goodness, you know, this could be my pet. With this two partners that you have, the Pet Finders and American Veterinary Medical Foundation, what are each of these companies? Can you give us a little background of who these people are?
Sure. Both organizations have been very active in disaster preparedness and helping animals through disaster situations. The PetFinder.com Foundation really looks at reuniting pets with their rightful owners or finding homes for displaced pets through disasters. The American Veterinary Medical Foundation is a foundation that's set up through the American Veterinary Medical Association, and really their bailiwick is to prepare emergency response teams and fund and initiate efforts in and around disasters where animals have been displaced or negatively affected. Very worthy partners that we have enjoyed working with, and we certainly know that we have the three together have had a tremendous impact for animal health care.
I think a lot of us just think that if there's disaster, you know, the government's going to come in and it's going to take care of us, and then there's going to be the Red Cross, and it's kind of an ancillary, and, you know, they always seem to be there. But as I'm understanding this program, Paws to Save Pets, you don't have government funding for this. This is really a grassroots type of a situation.
It certainly is, Bernadine, and that was the issue that drove us to start working with our two partners and develop this initiative, and that really has spurred us on to continue the efforts in the last 3 to 4 years and really expand those efforts so they're reaching more and more pets that have been affected by the various different natural as well as man-made disasters.
And those disasters always seem that you turn on the news and somebody somewhere is having a problem. With all of the heartbreak that you see on TV, I'm sure that Paws to Save Pets has a couple of stories of, oh yeah, this was just a really fantastic outcome, you know, reuniting somebody with their pet. Do you have any examples, Dr. Little?
A couple that come to mind. In fact, we show a video at the larger veterinary conferences where we have this initiative in place to with some donation opportunities. And really a couple of examples. One was an older gentleman in New Orleans that had been displaced from his cat that he had had for 12 to 15 years. And really through PetFinder.com, we were able to reunite that individual with this beloved cat. And just to see him on screen in these videos as he received his favorite cat is truly, to your point, Bernie, very heart-wrenching and also very reinforcing. The other was a service dog that had been displaced via Hurricane Rita, and certainly the individual could not function in a normal capacity without the service dog, and we were able to reunite the service dog with the individual, ensuring him a quality of life that wouldn't have been possible if the initiative had not been in place to locate and then reunite that very important dog to his master.
I can imagine that person was just devastated somehow being separated from his service dog. But I think each of us, you know, I go to work and I leave my three cats here in the house. I'm in an area that is prone to having fires. So right now, being in Southern California with all the fires going on, I'm constantly sticking my nose outside and kind of sniffing the air to see, okay, are there any fires out there? What would I do if I weren't home? So preparing, you know, I have a sticker on my window that tells the fireman, in case somebody has to break into the house, a fireman preferably, that there's three cats. And whether or not they could get those cats and save them, who knows? What are some of the things that Paws to Save Pets have put together? What kind of things for the homeowner, for the pet owner to say, this is what I need to do to prepare because I have to be responsible for my own pets?
Sure. And that's a great question. And what we've developed is a pet owner checklist for disasters. And I would encourage individuals to visit the Paws to Save Pets website, which is www.pawstosavepets.com, and look at the checklist. But what individuals can do is certainly ensure that your pet wears at least two current forms of identification and keep the information current with that identification. This October and November, Marielle is running an in-hospital promotion with veterinarians where pet owners can ask their veterinarian for those Save My Pet stickers that you have on your door, and I would encourage clients to put those on the front and the back door in the house or apartment. Start a buddy system with a neighbor so that they can check on your pets during a disaster, and you would do the same for them. And don't forget to exchange veterinary information. The veterinarian that would be involved or that you're using that would just been caring for your pet. Ensure that your pet's vaccinations are up to date and keep an extra copy of your health care records with the pet. In fact, we would encourage consumers to develop and to build a disaster preparedness kit. And in that kit would be a 1 to 2 week supply of dry or canned dog food. And if you're feeding canned, don't forget to pack or to include a can opener as well as a spoon. 1 to 2 week supply of water in gallon-sized containers. A lot of times we would forget about the water, but that's very, very important.
And that's per pet, aren't you talking about?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
That's
exactly.
A lot of. If you have a lot of animals, you have a lot of equipment put together.
It's all about preparedness. Photographs of your pets that would be included in the disaster preparedness kit. Copies of important veterinary documents, medical records. And then don't forget about your pet's medication. Your pet's on any medication, including flea and tick and heartworm preventative, include a 2 week reserve supply in your disaster preparedness kit. So, again, consumers can visit the Paws to Save Pets website and pick up and download a copy of the checklist.
One of the things you mentioned, and I'll just kind of add to it, I love the idea. You know, I have a sticker on my front and back door, but I was also told by one of the fire agents here in the area, firemen, that to also put a sticker on my electrical box, because if there is just a home fire, maybe it's not going to be a huge disaster that affects a lot of people, but if it's just affecting your home, that's still a disaster. And what the firemen will typically do is go to the electrical box to turn off electricity to the home, and if you were to have a sticker there, they go, oh, there's some pets inside, so we need to be aware of that.
That's an excellent, excellent point, Bernadine. And I would encourage, again, during October and November, Marielle will run a promotion with veterinarians so consumers can go in and ask their veterinarians for those very, very important stickers.
Well, we're talking right now with Dr. Hal Little of Marielle Animal Health and talking about Paws to Save Pets, a great initiative where we're planning, protecting, and caring for our pets' lives. We'll be right back after the short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Give your dog some thought with Dog Thoughts. It's the iPhone application that everyone's talking about.
Hey, what do you think of this? A man in Davis, California says he's invented an application for the iPhone that claims it can read your dog's mind. Huh? No, it's true. I read about it on my cat's Twitter page. That's why I read it.
Jay Leno talked about it, CBS reported on it, and now you can see what all the buzz is about. Created just for dog lovers, Dog Thoughts makes taking photos of your furry best friend more fun. Shake your dog and read his mind. On your iPhone, of course. Take a pic of your pup, shake your phone, and watch as his thoughts appear on the screen. Does he have a bone to pick with you, or is he having a tail-wagging day? Get your Dog Thoughts iPhone app today. Just 99 cents. Go to PetLifeRadioPromotions.com. That's PetLifeRadioPromotions.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Having a rough day? Longing for the dog days of summer? Think your fun furry friend lives a dog's life? Well, find out everything you're begging to know as Pet Life Radio presents It's a Doggy Dog World with pet expert and award-winning author Liz Palaika. Every dog has his day, and you'll find out how to make your dog's day fun and rewarding every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Little, I mean, this is so important, and I've oftentimes told people, you know, to have a couple days worth of food and water, but to have a week's worth, I mean, that I think is even better. And even putting, for instance, a photo of your pet, because you say, oh, I have a black and white cat. And if, for instance, you were to get separated from your pet and you have to go to a shelter, if you have a photo of your pet going, oh, yeah, I've seen that cat, instead of just saying it's a black and white one.
Absolutely. In fact, any information that you think could be helpful in and around a disaster or helpful in identifying your pet that could be displaced, please include that. So that would be critically important. And those little tidbits of information would speed up the process and really help the emergency personnel understand where the pet needs to be, the rightful owner, and again, reconnect the pet with their owners. That's critically important.
Dr. Little, you mentioned having two forms of current identification on the pet. Okay, I'll bite. Why two?
It's kind of the fail-safe, just in case one is, say, if it's attached to the collar, it happens to fall off. If one's on one collar and it gets displaced or lost, that could be a disaster, and you could throw the pet into the kind of the hopper with others that are we don't have a clue where they need to be. Microchipping has been popular in the past. Electronic methods could be identification systems that are important. But again, just as a fail-safe, two better than one, just in case the unforeseen happens.
I like that idea, especially the microchip too, because collars can come off, be taken off. Just even if you're in an area where a pet escapes from somebody's backyard or their house and scoots out and you find them, if you don't see a tag on the pet, it's a great idea. Take it into your local veterinarian, see if they can scan it, find a chip. Or instead of just holding on to it yourself at home, thinking, oh, I don't want to take it to the shelter because if I take it to the shelter, you know, they're going to euthanize it, they're going to put it down. If I'm looking for my own pet, I'm sure going to be looking around the neighborhood, but I really would be looking at shelters. So I'll always tell people, take it to the shelter, and if you have concerns that it might be destroyed, put your name on it and say, before anything happens, give me a call before you destroy it. And most shelters will do this.
Absolutely, Vernon. In fact, the shelters, veterinary hospitals are two of the best sources for animal health information and certainly are partners in ensuring long-term health of animals that in any situation. So I would encourage consumers to call upon either or both as partners in their animal's health.
So, Dr. Little, I love the idea, identification, planning ahead, having all this equipment. But what should people do if they, for instance, think, all right, I can't get out of the house. I don't want to get out of the house and evacuate at this time. Are there things that they can do to help ride it out when they're at home?
Certainly, they're taking a risk. But with that communication, notification, making sure the neighbors are aware of what's going on, family, friends, certainly this is one instance where over-communication can be critically important. And the disaster preparedness kit for the pets would certainly come into play in the home if they're riding out a disaster, can't leave the house. They have prepared not only for them for the long haul to be in the house, but also for their pets. And it just makes things much more user-friendly, if you will, if we've prepared ahead of time with one of those disaster preparedness kits.
When there are storms raging outside, if there's a hurricane that is blowing by, your pets are going to get nervous. They're going to get scared. So even if you have, for instance, a dog and a cat that typically are best of buddies, it might be best to separate them. So in case it gets scared, all of a sudden doesn't think, ah, it's the cat's fault, and the dog takes it out on the cat or the cat on the dog, vice versa. If windows, you know, if there's a chance that you may have a window fall out and you're afraid that, yeah, the cat's or dog's going to get nervous and now bolt through that window, or just it's scared and like lightning storm. And around here we'll have fireworks and too many dogs and will try to go through a plate glass window, and sometimes they succeed. Sometimes putting them in an area like an inside bathroom and close the door so they can't get out. Go in there periodically just to try and calm them. Talk with a quiet voice to them. Too often people go, okay, my carrier is in the garage. I can't get to the garage. What am I going to do with this small cat or dog? A pillowcase. You know, take the pillow out of the pillowcase, throw your small dog or cat in there, put some type of a cord around the top. Now you have a cat or dog in a bag. They can still breathe, and now you can transport them much more safely for you and them, and now you can pop them in the car, do whatever you have to do, and not worry about trying to crate them in your arms, and all of a sudden that pet takes off and never to be found again, and that's just disaster. A friend of mine here in Southern California is definitely the Girl Scout, where she prepares ahead. In each room of her home, she has disaster preparedness material. So she has food and water and flashlights and extra shoes, easy to slip on shoes for herself, just in case there's an earthquake here. You think, okay, I'm barefoot. What am I going to do? And if you have a pair of high heels, that's cute, but you're not going to be very adept at moving around in the disaster. So having shoes that are easy to slip on. So just kind of, as you said, plan ahead.
Absolutely. And it's too late when the storm is there. This needs to be ahead of time. And Bernadine, if consumers know that the pet is affected by storms or events, as you said, firecrackers around the 4th of July, check with their veterinarian, because there are some pharmacological means to help settle the animal down. And again, that's all about preparation and kind of getting ahead of the situation. So there's a lot to prepare for, and your local veterinarian is certainly the gatekeeper in animal health and can certainly help clients and consumers weather the storm, so to speak.
What I find amazing is still on the subject of planning ahead. We had an earthquake here not that long ago. It wasn't that bad, but it knocked out cell service. And thinking, well, our cell service would still be up, but knocked out local cell service. But you could still reach people in other states. So it's a good idea, no matter where you are, have that phone tree set up. So, okay, here's a local person that I would call. But if I can't reach that person, where is somebody on the other coast? Oftentimes you can reach them and they can be the clearinghouse for information back and forth amongst your family members and your neighbors if they know that, oh, the neighbor is in charge of your pet, but how to get in touch with you.
Well, I love that. That's kind of an extended buddy system that we were talking about earlier, and I think that's so important is to have additional people and additional buddies that you can reach out to, and they can reach out to you in case the disaster is at their home.
And since you can't be home all the time, having some type of disaster kit in the trunk of your car is a good idea because you never know. Things may happen. If you're in the middle of a blizzard, that could save your life because you may be stuck in your car for a period of time in case your pet's in your car with you. Then have something there for your pet too. Maybe not that week's worth. You're not going to have any room in your trunk, but at least have some goodies there.
Absolutely. And as pets are looked at and are truly more and more part of our families, we need to include them in all the preparedness.
One of the things that we should all have in our house, in our car, in our garage is a first aid kit. Could you talk a little bit about some of the things that should be in a general first aid kit and then things that you could put in there to make it pet friendly?
Really, in almost any general first aid kit that could be purchased at a pharmacy or a department store that it would be applicable to humans could apply to pets. As we mentioned earlier, some of the medications that would help calm the pet during the storm, if you know that that's a problem, wraps, bandages, cotton that could be, you know, for wounds, any kind of material cleaning, soft cotton cloths to clean wounds, clean eyes, bottled water, we talked about that, might not fit directly in a kit, but would be important as far as washing affected areas or, again, wounds. Although it wouldn't be really in a first aid kit, the food would be very important, any medications the animal was on. But basically, to your point, Bernie, any first aid kit that could be purchased, the materials inside could be very applicable to the animals that could be affected by disasters or injured.
Not a bad idea to have maybe an extra leash that's in there, some work gloves to handle your pet. And in case there's disaster and you go, oh, here's this poor little animal and you want to go help it, it doesn't know you, it's scared, it could bite you. Now you have to be concerned with, or scratch you, bite you, whatever. Now you have to be concerned with rabies, other conditions that could be spread to you. So if it's your own pet, still be very, very cautious because a scared animal can hurt you very badly. It doesn't mean to, but it's scared. So having some way of, for instance, if it's a small cat or dog, get a blanket, throw it over it, and just kind of scoop it up in total. If it's an animal that's injured, unless it's around the face and it's having a hard time breathing, if you can, you can put a muzzle on it. Taking a first aid course for pets, the American Red Cross offers these courses in many of our local chapters, and if they don't ask them to, they can do so.
Absolutely. And I know, Bernadine, a couple of weeks ago, there was actually a community college here in the Atlanta area that was offering a first aid class for pets. So that's another great idea.
Good. All these things that we're trying to do to plan, protect, and care, and as you're talking about, they're also out there to, you know, be ready and to rescue. Hopefully some of the listeners that are hearing this today say, okay, I want to plan ahead, but I also want to help save or help donate to Paws to Save Pets. Where can they do this, Dr. Little?
If they would go to the Paws to Save Pets website that I mentioned earlier, www.pawstosavepets.com, there's both of their links to both of our partners, the petfinder.com Foundation, as well as the American Veterinary Medical Foundation, and their links to their websites. They can donate via those websites, and on the Paws to Save Pets website, we're actually selling a very, very nice collar for $10 with that $10 charge going directly into the Paws to Save Pets Fund. Visiting their veterinary hospital in October and November, there will be an in-hospital promotion that we anticipate could generate as much as $500,000 through the sale of Frontline and HeartGuard. Every Frontline and HeartGuard sales in October and November will donate $1 to the Paws to Save Pets Fund. So there are many ways to help and to donate. So for consumers that are interested, visit the Paws to Save Pets website.
It's a great website. It has some wonderful information on how to evacuate your home in case of a disaster, writing out the problem at home, how to put together a pet first aid kit, has the listings of the partners that you just mentioned right now. It also mentions getmehome.com, another way of having identification where you can get that pet reunited with you, because oftentimes these pets will be transplaced hours, many hundreds of miles sometimes away from you if there's a huge disaster like there was in Katrina, and getting them back to you can be so difficult, but you always want to get these babies back into your loving arms. Dr. Hal Little, thank you so much for being with us today. This is information everyone should take to heart and to do something about now and not put it off.
Well, thank you very much. We're very, very proud at Marielle to be part of this very, very important initiative.
Well, this is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on PetLifeRadio.com. Hopefully you will stand up, get yourself together, put yourself together a kit that's going to help save your pets and help save, hopefully, their lives if there's ever that type of situation. If you ever have questions on how best to protect your pet, best person to ask is your primary care veterinarian. But you can always send me any questions that you have to thepetdoctor@petliferadio.com. I will answer you back. So please do listen next week when we'll try to have more information that will entertain and educate and make you the best pet owner that you can be. Take care. Chat with you soon.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.